Ooh, it's getting a little sensual with the mic. So, before the start of our Rage Quit episode, I would like to tell a little bit about Rage Quit's sponsor. So, welcome to another episode of Rage Quit, the husband and wife duo that discusses video games every week. Rage Quit is sponsored by AFK Clothing Co. Are you a gamer? Do you enjoy games? Then check out AFK Clothing Co. for all of your gaming apparel needs. As I record this, I am sporting an AFK green sleeve baseball tee that I absolutely love and wear every week. We'd never be sponsored by something we didn't like. And if you'd like to support the show, head on over to AFK Clothing Co., link in the description below, and type ASI in the promo code box to get 10% off your next order. As always, just follow the bear, and now on to the show.
Beep, 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 bear.
That's just our thing now.
Beep, 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 beep.
Why is my timer thing say 6:24 p.m., but then the actual clock to the iPad says the actual time, 5:25 p.m.?
Can you read a different time zone, kind sir?
Oh, that's what it's going to go off, because I have it set for an hour.
You're
okay,
an idiot.
That makes more sense.
There you go.
That's yeah, you wouldn't have known that. You would have done the same thing.
What the fuck is happening?
Don't go there. Like, you knew.
You knew. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rage Quit.
Rage Quit!
Exactly. Give me the jazzy little tune.
Rage Quit!
Like Bill and Ted style.
That'd be cool.
Wild Stallions.
Get off me.
Yeah, episode 19.
What? 19 episodes so far.
We made it.
I feel like they're not in order.
But recording wise,
it's
no.
Episode 19, yeah.
We do them in batches of two.
That's what she said.
It doesn't make sense.
As long as we have a co-host as your wife.
Weeping. But we're only successful if it's the two of us.
Oh, that makes it sadder.
John rambles.
Oh, you're talking shit about your other co-host.
No, John's a good co-host. He just thinks he rambles.
I know. The other one doesn't even verbalize very well.
Yeah, I should do a video game podcast with Ollie.
You should.
Because he'd talk.
He would.
You would just have to, I would just have to, hypothesize what he's actually saying and, respond accordingly.
Diaper? Dead that?
Bubby Yaga.
Murder.
Well, we are talking about the John Wick game. Good feedback, buddy.
Oh, toddlers.
That'd be great.
The great things that they don't know what they're saying.
He quit
licking yourself.
Tail instinctively before I even touched it.
Because he knows. He's messing with Kat right now. Don't you dare jump back up my lap.
I'm going to grab another soda, actually.
What? Sodas?
Sometimes.
Anyways, well, this is Rage Quit. My name is Ariel.
My name's Anthony Schultz.
Let me finish my sentence. God!
You stuttered in your own name, so I was diving in. Ariel, Anthony!
Anthony!
I should do that anybody introducing themselves in a nervous or anxious situation, and they stutter through their words. I'm Joel, Anthony! walking by.
Who the fuck is that? Anthony, apparently. What the fuck?
I want to hire that guy. Oh, sorry, Joel.
You got passed up for the opportunity for CEO of Sparkplugs.
Diddy Sparkler. LLC.
Nerd alert.
Meet a BSS.
From a BSS. All the inside jokes that no one gets. You're like, what the fuck are these people saying?
Well, eventually they'll get them, but they listen enough.
Fair enough, kind sir.
They listen to the last, it's the future episode. Damn. If you look at the next episode, you'll get the inside joke from the past episode. Oh, that dicks it.
Yeah.
That's the only time narratively that gets fucked.
You fucked up.
I do.
Oh, man. What are we talking about today on Rage Quit?
Interstellar.
That's not it.
We're going to be talking about Sucker Punch Productions, Infamous, and Ghost of Tsushima.
Tsushima!
So this episode is going to follow pretty closely to how we did our Bioshock one.
Bioshock!
Every once in a while, we're going to pick a
studio
Sony first party studio or a studio either shuttered or open. It doesn't really matter for us.
of like our favorite franchises or games we're looking forward mm-hmm. to, and we're going to do like a deep dive into said studio.
Deep dive, deep dive.
Whether there's like kind of well-known or big creators mm-hmm. there driving it, or even artists or mm-hmm. writers that are, you know, big with that studio or were big with that studio.
Yeah.
And then their kind of corresponding like growth as a studio. So we'll start with like their kind of early work and then work our way up
how
to
they begin.
Hopefully something coming out soon.
True.
To make it a little bit more relevant.
Well, I think with the BioShock episode, there's that teaser we talked about where they're thinking about releasing another BioShock.
And then that came to light.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, then there was an official announcement that they were working on BioShock 4, and there had been a new studio formed for it.
Which is
and Ken Levine
like,
wasn't a part of it, which is what we hypothesized, that if they ever did,
he wouldn't be a part of it.
Ken Levine would not be a part of it.
Still, they would have a BioShock episode, or not episode, it's not episodic, game.
Yeah.
So tell us, Kenter, what happened in the early years of Sucker Punch?
So, Sucker Punch Productions, for those of you that don't know, was founded in 1997 and resides in Bellevue, Washington, which is our home state. We're in Spokane, Washington, so we're on the east side of the state, on the other side of the Olympia Mountains, Cascades.
On the mountains!
And Bellevue's more northward mm-hmm. of Seattle.
Seattle! Washington!
Yeah, which is kind of cool for us because, like I said, we're natives of Spokane, Washington. So right on the other side of the state, a little mm-hmm. north of Seattle in Bellevue, Sucker Punch Productions resides.
Sucker Punch?
Originally, the company was conceived as a Microsoft company, actually.
That's insane. It wasn't?
Yeah, and so for those of you that are in the know, Sucker Punch is now a first-party studio of Sony.
That's insane that they were a Microsoft company.
Yeah, so they were initially conceived as a Microsoft company, mm-hmm. Sony's rival. Is what they started with. But if you notice, like I have here in my notes, they left that partnership in 1997. Mm-hmm. They were also founded in 1997. So, very brief partnership. Yeah, when I was writing out this script, I noticed that. I was like, that's a little interesting.
Yeah, right. I like how you put, like, I bet they feel bad about missing out on the opportunity in hindsight. Question mark.
A little bit, yeah, because it's one of Sony's, like, stronger mm-hmm. first-party studios. Obviously, Naughty Dog's kind of, like, the big dog on the block for Sony.
Yeah, pun intended.
Exactly. but then they also have Sony Bend, which mm-hmm. is in Oregon, not too far away from here.
I like how it's, like, Sony has, like, so many, like, Washington-heavy...
Oh, yeah, it's, like, Washington, Oregon, California. It's,
yeah,
like, West Coast, U.S., and they're in Japan.
It's on the other side.
Yeah, of the world. But a lot of their first-party studios... At least in the West, are here on the West Coast.
Which is, that's insane.
They're really close. Yeah. Because, like, Sony Band did Days Gone, which came out last year, and that was kind of their first mm-hmm. foray into AAA status mm-hmm. kind of territory or games.
Yeah.
And it was set in Oregon as well, so, you'd, like, you go to Crater Lake, like, which we can drive there. It's, like, a six-hour drive. You can be in Crater Lake.
Still a long drive.
We go to, you know, Seattle in 6 hours, too.
Side note, this is a random pop off in my head. We were talking about some RPGs and stuff, how it's like some will be called like JRPGs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Why they're not called Western or WRPGs? Because a lot of the states are such anal assholes. Like, we're the east side, we're not the west side.
Oh, something along those lines.
Yeah, it's just...
I guess. I mean, we're even like Europe is considered...
Western.
Yeah, half of Europe at least, because then there's Eastern Europe.
That's what I mean. That's why it's not called Western RPGs, because when you talk about Western Europe, Eastern Europe, or
oh,
Western
so you think
states?
That, like, I feel like that feeds into the stereotype that the Japanese have that we're dumb.
Well, we are. I'm just saying in general, that's kind of like
my I don't think it rolls off the tongue as well, either.
WRPGs.
Does it mean you kind of stutter through it, and I have too?
Yeah,
It's easier just to be Western. But people still say Western RPGs.
Yeah, that's weird.
So that doesn't, like, feed into,
what is like,
West Coast, East Coast kind of thing, or Western Europe and Eastern Europe?
I'm just saying. That's just kind of, like, my hypothesis. Anyways, whatever. Back to Cyber Punch, since you don't agree.
We can't ever disagree.
How dare you have an opinion other than mine?
But, yeah, Ariel is right. I do have a note in here. I bet that Microsoft feels bad about missing out on this opportunity in hindsight.
Considering how quick it was, they were founded in 1997 and then left in
1997. Yeah, not really a long or lengthy relationship. Microsoft is also based out of Washington, so it makes sense that they're very close to Seattle, that they would have that kind of relationship, at least in the beginning.
True.
Sony then purchased Sucker Punch in 2011, I found this kind of peculiar. Infamous, the very mm-hmm. first one that they released, mm-hmm. Was a Sony exclusive. They didn't buy Sucker Punch, though, until afterwards.
Well, of course, they're going to see how well it does, and it did well.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then like, okay, now we'll buy you.
That's what I read into that as well, is that they gave them a shot.
Yeah, in 2009, when they were Infamous released, and then it's like, okay, well, you did actually well enough for us to want to buy you. What, 3 years later?
Yeah, you have the... 2 years later.
2 years later. I can count.
Yeah, you have the pedigree, mm-hmm. which is why we contracted you in the first place, and then you actually produced something for us that was
so what did they do attention. Before that then? Because obviously from 1997 to 2011 or 2009, there's a big-ass gap.
So we've talked about this quite a bit on the show before. In particular, when we brought up, like, Nintendo, and we've done deep dives into older consoles, but, like, mascot platformers.
Good girl.
Mascot mm-hmm. platformers, you know, obviously most famously like Mario.
Yeah.
And then Sonic mm-hmm. was another big one. And then we got into like Spyro and Crash yeah. Bandicoot. You know, we talked about Naughty Dog and where they started with mm-hmm. Crash Bandicoot, Insomniac Games, which is now a first party studio of Sony's just recently, mm-hmm. within this last year. They did Spyro.
Okay.
So they kind of hit that same kind of niche at about the same time. They did the Sly Cooper franchise.
Oh.
So it was like the Thieving Raccoon. I don't know if you ever no. played that one or saw it.
That one doesn't ring a bell to
it
me.
It was kind of like a bit, like a B-tier mm-hmm. platformer. It played pretty much just the same kind of way as platformers from that era.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what they were like most notable mm-hmm. for, was doing Sly Cooper.
It sounds so familiar, but no, I don't remember that exactly.
Here, you can keep on going on about, like, maybe just platformers are your favorite, and I've got some cover art I can show you.
What? But I was just kind of curious, because obviously that's such a huge gap for when they separated from Microsoft from in 1997 to when Sony eventually bought them after doing Infamous in 2009 to 2011. Because that's crazy to think Sly Cooper, a platformer game, was on the PS2. Okay, so about that era. Yeah, that makes sense. When Microsoft started kind of dabbling into gaming and then other Infamous franchises. Oh, that's right. I have seen this guy before. Mm-hmm. Dude, someone's peed on this.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, so it's a raccoon. That still things, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, okay, yeah. All right, I see it. Obviously, it has Sony on there.
And I didn't play them when they initially came out either. Mm-hmm. I played this on the Vita.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. It's in the Vita, so like if you still have your receipt in there.
I always would do that. I'd buy it when I throw the receipt
you
in.
See, like how long ago this was. Your cashier was Jordan on Thor. Ooh.
Yeah, so it was obviously when I was at Thor.
True. Let's see. We'll find the date. It's got to be on here somewhere.
Is it the top of the receipt?
Ah, 7/1/2014.
So 6 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, like 5.5.
About when we started kind of going out almost.
Yeah.
A little after that, 2015.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. So this is what they did before Infamous.
Yeah. So they were kind of known in that circle. Like they were up there with, like mm-hmm. I said, Spyro, Crash Bandicoot, which were then, you know, mimicking the successful platformers that Sega had with Sonic mm-hmm. and Nintendo with Mario. So that's where they really started. So they had kind of that pedigree already built. Like, they mm-hmm. were building, you know, like, well-received. And, like, mm-hmm. the gameplay mechanics were, like, on point. Like, it was a decent platform. It was kind of what it came down to. Afterwards, they moved on to Infamous.
Mm-hmm.
So they did Infamous 1 and 2 was on the PS3. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of propelled them into the spotlight. That was another one of those ones that was, like, on par, at least, like, maybe, like, release-wise.
Yeah.
Or in people's minds, the same way that, like, Uncharted was.
Oh, okay, I can see that.
Infamous was really cool, open-world game.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of played up, especially in the first one, like, comic books.
Yeah, because it isn't Infamous Second Son, the second one.
No, Second Son is the third one, actually.
Oh, shit, I'm fucked up.
So the first two had a character, his name was Cole, mm-hmm. and there was a very deep, like, karma system mm-hmm. kind of involved. So there was, like, trophies that corresponded to it, and then different endings, actually.
Okay.
So you could play really good and use your powers.
Or
But they played into the, like, the combo kind of aspect of it. So, like, if you played really good or really bad, you got different powers, and then you got different endings, and then it affected, like, the characters around you. Like,
you did just, like, right down the middle.
I can't remember if you could. I think you, no matter what, you were swayed one way or the other.
Oh, okay, regardless. There was no just, like, straight down the middle.
Yeah, and if you did, like, bad actions and good actions and kind of went back and forth, I think they were just two separate meters that, like, filled up and then it, like, averaged them.
Yeah.
Or it was, like, oh, overall, you were, like, a little bit good.
Or a little
so
bit
So then you were handicapping yourself with, like, the powers because then you weren't getting, like, the really good powers or the really, really good bad powers.
Okay.
So you wanted to kind of go lean into one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And it encouraged, like, two playthroughs.
Yeah, which makes sense.
So you would play through. I don't think I did this. Did I do it with the first one or the second one?
I don't know.
Well, I can't remember. I think it was the first one. I went back and I did that. I did like my first playthrough. Mm-hmm. I usually do like the good stuff. First. I just naturally tend to play that way.
Sure.
And then I wanted. I think. Now I'm like, I'm mixing myself up. It might have been all the way with, like, Second Son. There's one of them, regardless, where then I went back later and I did, like, the bad
part.
So, to see just how it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I did it with the first two, actually. I think I did it with Second Son, because I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
And ended up getting a platinum for that,
what's
and then
a
platinum
second
for
one,
its
then?
Expansion. Same kind of thing. In the second one, they introduced that there's other people that have powers as well. So Cole's powers are more, like, electric-centric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they start to add, like, a more elemental kind of thing into it. And that there's, like, this giant creature, like, off the coast that's coming in. It's, like, a fictional version of New Orleans.
Okay.
And you can choose whether to... There's, like, two characters. One's more good, one's more bad because of their upbringing. They're, like, really good backstories, too.
Yeah.
The two individuals in question also have powers, and so you can side more with, like, the good person and kind of team up and defeat the creature, or you can be bad and kind of use the creature in that way. And then, spoiler alert, Infamous 2 has been out for a long time, though. Cole dies at the end of the second one.
Oh, okay.
And so in Infamous Second Son, it's an all-new character.
Yeah.
And that one's set in Washington and in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Which is really cool, and why one of the reasons I was drawn to it. I already like the franchise. Mm-hmm. I like the karmic kind of system. I like the comic book nature of it. But then it was set in like a, it was like a small town in the west side of our state, and he was the main character was Native American.
Oh, okay, that's
at
cool.
least half. I think he was like Snohomish or something like that. Which these kind of terms, like you're not gonna know if you're not from Washington. But and then. He gets, like, drawn into, like, a kind of a conflict and then ends up in Seattle. That's where, like, the bulk of the game takes place. And again, you can choose whether it be good or evil. And that one, you get a whole bunch of different types of powers.
Yeah.
Not just, like, electric like Cole did. You can do all sorts of different things. Kind of cherry pick a little bit.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So do you feel like ever when you're playing, like, the karmatic system and you're, like, talking with a character or whatever and you accidentally pick the wrong thing, do you ever, like, try to save for, like, big... events?
I do now. I didn't used to. That's kind of funny you brought this up because this is obviously like piggybacking off of our BioShock format.
Yeah.
Very first time I played BioShock, I accidentally like absorbed a little sister to get more Adam, which I don't like to play as. And then again, funnily enough, there's a trophy attached to doing that.
Yeah.
Like, sacrificing one little sister and then saving all the others. There's a trophy attached to that. And so I accidentally did that the first time. But I regretted it. I was like, I don't want to play that way. Like, it's a little sister. Like, why?
No, it's not their fault.
Some games, like Fallout, you can get away with that. Especially in Fallout 3, there was a trophy-specific karmic action. So, like, if you hit level 20, they wanted you to get... There's one trophy, or if you were level 20 in neutral... One trophy if you were level 20 and good, and then another trophy for if you're level 20 and evil. So I would save, like, at, like, level 18 or 19.
Yeah.
And then do a whole bunch of bad stuff. So I get the bad one. And then I do a whole bunch of neutral stuff, you know.
Or how do you do neutral stuff?
You go back and forth. Your neutrality. Your heart's filled with neutrality. Oh, it's me, it's Rama now.
Your neutralness.
And then get, like, the neutral trophy, and then I would go how I wanted to play, and I'd do the good stuff, and continue on until the next level
cap.
Check.
Yeah, check mark, know. Yeah.
But, yeah, you now I will save before you see big karmic actions, especially if you know they're coming.
What did you fuck up on that we were playing, not recently, that you did something bad on accident?
There was one where it was, like, I think it was, like, morally ambiguous. Mm-hmm. And I picked what I thought would be right for, like, the greater good. And it was, like, they wanted the... I think it might have been East. East
yeah, 8. Yeah.
And it was, like, they... It was, like, a conversation one. That one doesn't really have a karmic system built into it.
No,
but,
no, no, no.
And, like, everybody in the group was, like, that's a horrible idea. Like, and they just, like, shut you down. And then you go on with how the story intends you to, like, play.
Nah, we're gonna ignore your choice. You didn't.
And then it turned out my original choice in that was actually correct. And it was just further down the story. I just wanted to do it right away.
Yeah, they're like, no. You gotta follow the story, Holmes. You can't skip ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
This isn't an RPG. They ain't free for all. You gotta follow the fucking story. We're linear in this situation.
Which is what it was. It was just a more linear RPG that was giving you the guise of joys.
No, I was thinking about one of your Fallout games. I was thinking about where you didn't save. Was Carmatic, I think, or something, where you didn't get the trophies.
Oh, I know, like, in the Outer Worlds, like, the when Pavarti died.
Randomly.
Yeah, and that was it. And then I started again. I can't remember. It was probably Fallout. Fallout is famous for having a Carmatic system, so. And you can easily fuck up.
You're right.
Kill somebody.
Whoops, my bad. So that's crazy to think how Sucker Punch started so early in 1997, and then was bought by Sony, which started out as Microsoft. Let's talk about a ultimate fuck you to Microsoft in that situation.
A little bit, yeah. And it's kind of funny, because like you brought up, they probably were testing Sucker Punch with the first Infamous before they purchased them. And then they had proven themselves and like the success that they could have, so they ended up purchasing them. But yeah, you know, what would that have been... like 12 years prior.
Yeah.
Where
they were with Microsoft to begin with.
Yeah, they had an opportunity with Microsoft, and obviously that relationship was strained for whatever reason and kind of squandered, and then Sony ends up stepping in.
I wonder what that reason is, or like why they so soon, like obviously it's not even a year when they separated.
Yeah, it was within the year of their founding that that partnership dissolved. So, and I couldn't find any, like, distinct information on it. There was, like, a lot of conjecture, so that's why I didn't include that in our notes. But, yeah, it's kind of anybody's guess. Especially at that time, it'd be really hard. Yeah. It was before Microsoft had a console, though.
Yeah,
when you think about
true.
It. The Xbox hadn't come out yet. So these games probably would have been strictly made for PC.
They probably didn't want to do that, or had...
So Microsoft may have not even had the forethought that they were going to... Like, if you take into consideration the inception of the original Xbox and, like, those engineers and programmers going with the idea of putting DirectX in a box...
Yeah.
Before then, they may not have even thought about getting into the console market until those engineers and programmers made that pitch, which would have been a few years later. Or a couple years
later. So it makes sense why they would leave, because they didn't have the opportunity then for it to be a video game.
Yeah, and there's so many other studios that were making games on the PC front already, so I'm sure for them it's like, well, maybe it's, you know, it's not a loss. You know,
yeah.
Consoles are like the smaller...
They're not going anywhere. Computers are going to go somewhere. That's what you get for them people believing in the internet. It's, you know, not going to be a big boom.
Yeah, it kind of is. That's what I said. Maybe it's just a lack of foresight into their own business. And so it was fine letting Sucker Punch go away.
So. I mean, they have their own first parties, but they done fucked up with Sucker Punch. Anyways. So,
so this is kind of interesting. So considering... Sly Cooper, as well as, like, Infamous, the Sly Cooper series for the PlayStation 2 used Sucker Punch's proprietary game engine called Spackle, which is a dumb name. But it's
really
for Sucker Punch Animation and Character Chematics Life Engine.
Oh, that's
so it's an acronym, is what it came down to.
I feel like they just said the farters from Futurama. That's not what farters are.
Yeah, exactly.
Farters against root television.
I found this kind of interesting because Sony seems to have a habit in a very, like, different ages in their company of focusing on studios that are offering something, like, hardware-wise.
Oh, that's true.
Or engine-wise, like, video game engine-wise. So, and I have, like, some good examples here. So, Naughty Dog... Within Naughty Dog's like company and structure, they have a division that they call ICE, which is a lot of kind of like their experimental like hardware side of Sony is there. So that's why one of the reasons Naughty Dog is so good about squeezing out every last bit of power from the current generation. That's why those games look so great. That's why the animation runs really well, because they're right there beside
the,
like kind of
the
they know
of
Sony's hardware inside and out. Is kind of what it comes down to. And that's obviously a very specific business decision to have those two linked and why they're so supportive of Naughty Dog and what they do.
If you think about it, like, with Naughty Dog as a good example, it's like, why wouldn't you have something that's making their games with somebody close by that's making the hardware so they can, you know, collaborate, say, hey,
then you find out what works and you spread that to all your other studios.
Yeah, you're like, okay, well, they did this, so let's cherry pick and give it to our other peeps.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, it's the, you know, they're the guinea pig, but they are pushing the boundaries.
These big-ass games out and all that, so it makes sense.
And then just recently, Guerrilla Games has been using the Decima engine, mm-hmm. which is what Horizon Zero Dawn used, which is a beautiful game, a masterful game. I'm streaming that right now and falling in love with it all over again. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been fantastic to play again. I haven't played it since it came out. This holds up, even
though
it's a couple years old.
That's one of the rare ones we got a pack for.
Before we knew the character and stuff, So we have the Aloy statue. Mm-hmm. Killzone Shadowfall, which is also really beautiful, mm-hmm. was a launch game for the PS4 that runs on the Decima engine as well.
Okay.
And is by Guerrilla Games. Another one that really holds up. So you're talking about 7 years ago when the PS4 launched,
mm-hmm.
To have a game that's still just kind of a spectacle is really cool. So that engine obviously works and looks really
good. Yeah, and they
really
know what to tamper with and tinker with.
And, like, more recently, like, famous, like, Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding runs on the Decima engine as well.
Yeah, because they helped them out and loaned it, essentially, to them.
Yeah, they loaned it to... And Hideo Kojima's studio, Kojima Productions, is not a first-party Sony game. It's a second-party game. It's a semi-exclusive. It'll be on PC, I think, this summer.
Well, the funny thing is, I like how they went about with, like, Hideo Kojima. They said, here's all this money. You're stuck with us, essentially. But
for this game,
for
at least.
For this game, at least. And then after this game, and when you... or have the availability to release it on other platformers.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
You
it can be on PC.
Want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can make movies. You can do whatever.
But we're more or less going to take our shit back.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're going to dangle the carrot.
Yeah, you have it. You can use it. And then they loan personnel from Guerrilla Games. It was mm-hmm. something like 70 studio members from Guerrilla Games worked on Death Stranding to get it out in time.
Mm-hmm. Then they're like, now since you're not ours exclusively, I'm taking my shit back, you know.
Exactly. So, I glean from this is that Sony kind of has a hard-on for studios, whether they own them or not, that are very, like, tech-savvy.
Mm-hmm.
They have proprietary, game engines, mm-hmm. and they like to add those type of companies, or at least that mindset, into their first-party, like, kind of stable.
And that's a smart way to do it, though, if you think about it.
It is. It kind of, like, increases, from a hardware standpoint, mm-hmm. and then even, like, a video game engine standpoint, like innovation.
Yeah, it does.
That wheel is going to keep churning. It's not going to be stagnant.
No, it gives them, like we've talked about before previously, are the ahead of the game, you know?
Yeah.
Which, with their engines as well as their games, and how to, like you said, squeeze that little bit of juice out of that fucking PlayStation, what it's out for.
Which I think is really cool, because, like Spackle, ridiculous name. But obviously, Sucker Punch had started not just making games, but focused on making their own, like, game engine and how to use that and how to finesse it.
I wonder if, this is a side note tangential, if Sucker Punch tried to be like Sony and Microsoft, were wanting to essentially make their own game system, but they were so tiny they really couldn't.
I don't know, like...
I mean, they have Spackle and everything. I'm not saying this is just, like, off the cuff.
Yeah.
Off the cuff. Just random thoughts popped into my head. Obviously, there's no merit to this at all, but...
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where that could have been something that they, like, had in mind, especially mm-hmm. in 1997. Maybe that would be more, like, plausible, but mm-hmm. obviously they wouldn't have, like, the manufacturing or the money to be able to do it, but...
Doesn't mean they didn't have it down a pipe dream. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially plus, it does add... It obviously added weight to their own company.
Exactly,
so that
to have their own engine and everything. And then, obviously, they realized the great partnership with Sony and that they gave, not necessarily the freedom, but the availability to make the games that they want to.
Well, and it... You know, I don't think that's so much of a stretch because, like, the head of Guerrilla Games, mm-hmm. who they created the Decima engine and obviously know that inside and out and have grown bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
The head of their studio recently, he's going to take over Hideo Kojima. Shuhei Yoshida's spot in Sony. So he moved up within the Sony
company.
Like hierarchy.
Yeah.
And that's used his studio as a stepping stone in what they have produced, mm-hmm. and probably more importantly, the Decima engine.
That's what I mean.
So I could definitely picture it being Sucker Punch's goal to be something purchased by somebody because they did this. They invented this. They know how to work it.
Yeah, exactly. And that gives them like the leg up amongst with Sony. It gives them the step ahead, which is always cool to think about, too.
So, yeah, it is interesting. I mean, you can kind of see, you can kind of glean from that information that Sony obviously has a very particular, like, process mm-hmm. in which they decide to pick studios.
Well, yeah, and it's like I was saying.
And they've spread them out over time.
Yeah, not all lumped up, lump sums, essentially. Like, I was just saying that would be, honestly, a goal, and in the 97s, a reasonable goal, especially with all the other systems that are out there, to try to do something. But obviously, if they didn't get big enough like they thought they would, that they had this engine in mind, this Smackle engine, and that it just didn't fruition them making their own console. So when it came to a point where Sony was going to absorb them, they're like, well, fuck yeah, you know, Sony has Guerrilla Games and the Decima system, why not?
Exactly. There's an anecdote at the bottom here that I really want to read. I found this super funny.
It's something a conversation to you and I.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, co-founder Chris Zimmerman showed the list of potential names. So, this is after Sucker Punch was splitting from Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
To his wife for her opinion, and she responded that she did not care as long as it isn't Sucker Punch. Considering the opinion of a middle-aged woman would be completely contrary to the demographics of their target audience, they selected that name for their company.
Oh, kind of like a big fuck you to his wife that you're old.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit of a fuck you, like, you're old, so we're going to do it in your exact opposite opinion.
Yeah.
Of what you say, so we're going with Sucker Punch.
Which I thought was just hilarious. Because I always kind of wondered how they got their name. It stands out. Like, Naughty Dog was just made up on a whim, apparently.
Yeah, they don't even remember.
They don't remember, like, why it came up or how. They just had to quickly come up with a name. Because they went by something else, and then it was, like, taken. It was, like, copyright issues or something.
Yeah. Something along those lines.
So their publisher came to them and be like, you have to go by a different name.
You have 24 hours to pick one,
and
essentially.
So they said Naughty Dog, and it's been Naughty Dog since. But neither one of the original founders.
That was, like, a long time ago.
It was like the mid-80s.
Yeah, like the Sucker Punch was like 97, like, which is recent in history.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Naughty Dog is definitely like far mm-hmm. older mm-hmm. Than Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
And it's the one kind of right after Naughty Dog.
Which is funny.
Yeah, as far as like
Naughty Dog, Sucker Punch, you know, obviously other studios that Sony is absorbed or wanting to absorb.
Yeah, I would say probably like Sony Man would be like third for up and coming, following at least the same path.
Yeah, because of Days
as
Gone,
Naughty Dog
so that makes
did,
sense.
And then what Sucker Punch has mm-hmm. done and is doing.
Well, that makes sense too. If like you think of with the Bend Studio, which they did Days Gone, didn't they?
Sony Bend did Days Gone, yeah.
So Sony Bend did Days Gone, so obviously they're up and coming as well as with the other big games like Naughty Dog's Nathan Drake, and then Infamous and Infamous Second Son with. Sucker Punch on my brain, just like, glitched out. And then, of course, they are coming out with the Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, and that's their big one. And when we did our 2020 predictions,
mm-hmm.
I feel like people are going to, in some sense, sleep on Ghost of Tsushima. But
yeah.
I think it's going to be hugely successful for
mm-hmm.
Sucker Punch and then thus Sony. And be the swan song to the PS4.
I think it will be, too. Like, it looks fucking badass. So, talk to us, kind sir, about...
How did that happen?
I don't know.
It's like he got thrown through the baby gate. That was amazing.
He jumped on it. It wasn't latched quite well, so then he, of course...
Now he's all like pissed off and like mad with himself.
He's mad.
Like, our cat just like biffed it hardcore while we were obviously recording. And you don't know how it happened.
I don't know either. Okay, talk to us about Ghost of Tsushima now.
I honestly think it's going to be the swan song for the PS4 and kind of heralded as such afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is as prevalent with like
mm-hmm.
Xbox players or even Nintendo players, really. But Sony, for the longest time, has had, like, a game that's, like, the last great game of that generation, whichever one you're talking about.
I don't think with Nintendo that's the case. Obviously, I'm more apprehended with Nintendo. We just kind of keep pushing forward, so there's not really an end to an era.
Yeah, and Sony really has had, like, distinct era is obviously, and usually like the year of, you know, that there's a console coming out, and it's therefore the last year of whatever generation you're in.
Yeah.
So the first time I remember like hearing this was with the PlayStation 2, and it was Sony Santa Monica, and it was God of War 2.
Yeah.
So it pushed like the limits of the PS2's hardware, and then as one of the best received God of War games.
Yeah.
And I believe that was one that Corey Barlaw did as well as the new one.
Yeah.
But anyways, it like pushed the tech as far as it could go, because now it's waning. Mm-hmm. You know, we've gotten far enough in the future that there's going to be new stuff.
Yeah.
More powerful machines. And then on top of it, it was, you know, so therefore it's gorgeous, but it had great story, awesome gameplay mechanics, and it has like stood the test of time.
Yeah,
you know,
of course. Since.
With the PS3, it was The Last of Us. Last of Us came out the June before the PS4 release.
See, like, that's different. I don't know about Microsoft, but with Nintendo, I'm not saying that they don't have pushed the limits. I'm just saying in general, we don't end.
I don't think it would really, like,
matter.
Make sense for Nintendo, because they've never really tried to push hardware in particular.
No.
It's all about, like, accessibility and fun.
Yes.
And so it's, like, getting into the hands of the most amount of people.
How do you
doesn't
play
necessarily
it?
Mean, like...
How do you play it where you play?
Is it the fastest? Is it the... You know, most powerful console. I can picture Microsoft kind of doing that, but they probably don't have a long enough kind of spread.
No, I don't think
they know. I'd have to ask.
Yeah, we would have to do more research on that, but that's neither here nor here there. So how does Ghost of Tsushima play then? Like, give us a little depth on that one.
I don't think it's really straying too far from, like, Sony's obviously kind of, like, proven formula.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be third-person action-adventure stealth game.
Mm-hmm.
Open world. Plot-wise, you play as the last samurai on Tsushima Island during the first Mongol invasion of Japan in the 1270s.
That's legit.
Which, yeah, I think that's really cool.
That
I didn't realize the Mongols had invaded Japan.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So, as like a history buff,
mm-hmm.
I find that like really interesting. It also feature one-on-one duels with NPCs, so non-playable characters, and then feature side quests, which makes sense. It's open
world. Yeah, of course. So, like, I wonder what they mean, like, open world. Like, just go wherever you want, don't follow the story, or...
I'm thinking with the inclusion of, like, side quests and then obviously a main plot framed out by the Mongol invasion, that it'll be something along the worlds of, like, Days Gone.
Yeah,
maybe not structured that well, where it's, like, that map was split into thirds, and there's a certain point in the game where you can't go back to the original two-thirds of the game, and then eventually it all opens back up again. I think it'll be that restricted.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll be open world, probably closer to the sense of, like, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Probably not that size, but...
Probably.
Maybe more linear, like, but still open, like God of War.
Okay.
That's or Uncharted 4.
Uncharted 4 and
God of War. Or Lion Lost Legacy.
It's what I'm thinking more along the lines as well.
You'll still have side quests where you can go off the beaten path and do stuff and not focus on the main story. But if you want to skip over those, you can.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you get like more, if there's like RPG kind of elements in it.
Which is really cool to think about. I'm honestly like super fucking excited for talking about being Japanese games.
It's hard not to say Hideo Kojima.
It is. For the... opportunity to play the Ghost of Tsushima. And like you said, it's pushing the limits on the PS4. It's like the fucking big hurrah. It's able to, like, get you going and just show you what they're made of. And then go on to the PS5.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be this similar kind of leap. Like, Infamous went from, that mascot kind of era to Infamous. Naughty Dog kind of followed the same path. They went from Crash Bandicoot to Jack and Daxter a little bit more, but still more mature, especially in the later ones. And then eventually Uncharted.
Yes, of course.
Last of Us. Mm-hmm. Between Uncharted and Last of Us, you can kind of see that like Indiana Jones, more fun, more action to something very like dark, very like you know
zombies but macabre, but fantasy orientated.
Yeah, but still like hard to play, like but very emotional and touching story. Mm-hmm. You know, something that's like elevates the genre and the medium.
Which is cool.
I think Ghost of Tsushima is gonna be that for Sucker Punch. They're going from Uncharted to something mm-hmm. new and bigger and darker, and like you're talking about historical, you know, fiction or mm-hmm. maybe even historical nonfiction, depending on how close they
get. I'm kind of curious if they're going to be fantasy outlined in it, or is it just going to be not necessarily completely historical.
Maybe something like Neo or something.
Yeah, not maybe not too far Neo, because we already have a Neo, but
yeah,
you know, something kind of down the rabbit hole a smidge, you know.
I don't know.
Or the first level of the Mad Hatter, you know.
Yeah, because it's like Last of Us is very much grounded in a fictional reality, but reality.
Yeah.
Like, things function how they should.
Mm-hmm.
Uncharted, they really, like, would lean in, especially towards the end of those games.
Yeah, towards fantasy.
Like, the mythos or, like, legends and, like, yeah, as truth, though.
Yeah, legends as truth. And then, of course, with Neo, it's completely just turn-based fantasy right there.
Yeah.
Japanese lore and all that.
And Infamous, obviously very, like, fantasized, like, very comic-oriented. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're talking about superheroes and supervillains, really, just in the context of their world, not, you know, branded DC and Marvel ones.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm super excited to see what Sucker Punch has for us. It's interesting to learn the history of it and how it essentially came to be and how it eventually merged with Sony. So that's amazing to see in its own right.
Yeah, and we'll see how well Ghost of Tsushima does. It's supposed to release... Right now, they just have summer 2020.
Yeah.
They don't have a hard release date. Mm-hmm. I'm sure...
Spackle might be giving them issues.
I doubt they use Spackle anymore.
Just fucking
it is funny. I'm sure The Last of Us Part 2 being bumped back affected the release date for Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, so their press release just said summer 2020, so they don't have a hard date, and then people get all butthurt because they moved the date.
Well, and plus, we're in the year of a new console releasing, and it's going to be released real close to the launch of that console, so...
It
kind of puts them in a bind a little bit.
They're gambling with that one.
Which is unfortunate that happened.
Yeah, that's just the nature of the beast, so...
But I think it'll be good. I think it'll be one of those things that people are going to be quietly kind of sleeping on. People are going to be very excited for, like, Last of Us, Final Fantasy, and, you know, Doom, and some of these others that are coming out, like, in the spring.
Yeah.
And we're not really looking at Ghost of Tsushima. We're looking even further beyond that to the release of a new console.
Which will be cool as well. See what they have.
And I'm curious if it'll pull a Last of Us where, if it does truly kind of become like a critical darling and, you know, sells on top of it very well, if just like the first Last of Us came over
from the PS3 to the PS4
with the remaster, if they'll do the same thing with Ghost of Tsushima.
Fingers crossed, hopefully that'd be legit.
That'd be super cool. Like, that's one of those ones where I haven't personally gone back and played the Last of Us remastered, but I will.
Yeah.
And exactly. I want to. And there's tons of people who have, where they played it when it came out, and now they're playing it again, or have. I would like Ghost of Tsushima to kind of have the same kind of treatment.
That would be cool.
And it's all dependent on whether it does well or not.
True. We'll see if it's the last hurrah. We'll, you know, it's coming quick.
Yeah. And then also, even further down the pipeline, will they do another one?
True.
Will they branch off and do something completely different? You know, will they treat it kind of like Infamous or Uncharted and do multiple entries
of it? It's going to be intriguing. I'm excited to see what they do with
it. Maybe different historical time periods, but same kind of mechanics. Or maybe further the story of, you know, this character.
Yeah, the main character.
Do sequels or prequels.
It'll be interesting to see how they throw that out there.
It's hard to tell. But I think it's interesting. I think Sucker Punch has a real unique history. I think a young history, like you pointed out, but worthy of, like, discussing and talking about. Bringing to the forefront. Again, I think it's something that people are sleeping on.
Yes, I do too. But we'll keep our fingers crossed for it. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, with that being said, you know, kind of housekeeping.
Yeah, so that's a wrap for our Sucker Punch Productions podcast. What are we doing? So, next episode, we're going to be discussing Final Fantasy. Kind of the ins and outs of Final Fantasy, our take on our favorites or least favorites, where they could go, things along those lines. So.
What we hope for.
Yeah. Final Fantasy have a remake, of course, is touched on in there. So, make sure to check out that one. That's going to be releasing next week.
Yep, next week.
Also, you can find us on pretty much... every podcast service.
We're getting there, yeah.
As well as YouTube.
Our tentacles are expanding.
We're trying to. So you can listen to us on Spotify, mm-hmm. Google Play Music, mm-hmm. iTunes, mm-hmm. CastBox, yep. as well as YouTube.
Of course, it's going to be released later because it takes a bit of effort to edit and put it on YouTube. Also, keep in mind, too, this our year goal is to branch out and eventually have video.
So, yes.
Not just podcast, but video cast.
Yeah, we're working on the studio space, and then we just need a little bit more equipment, but we're pretty much kind of set there. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely going to have our YouTube version is going to have video of us as we're recording the podcast. Mm-hmm. The one issue that we've had is it's one or the other right now.
Yeah.
The way it's set up. It's either going to be high quality video, but the audio is going to be shot. Or the audio is going to be really high quality, but the video is going to be shot. And so we obviously are working to mitigate that and fix it. So both are of high quality, mm-hmm. but that's why we don't have one out right now.
Yep, it will be, though. This is one of our goals for 2020. Obviously, everyone has the 2020
resolutions, yeah.
Oh, I don't know why. Revolution!
Revolution!
But we don't need that shit. We're good as we are. We are our projected 2020 goals for ASI and what we want to do. So keep an eye out, folks.
And this will, like, if you listen to all of our podcasts or even just two of our three podcasts, that'll trickle over into those as well.
Yes. So obviously,
it'll be kind of across the board.
Yeah.
The only one that probably won't have video is FGG if you listen to that.
Yeah.
Just because my co-host is not down with that.
No, he's not down with that. But with ours, it's going to be that way.
Yeah. With the two that we have, 64 Bits of Rage and Rage Quit.
Yep.
We will have accompanying video of high quality as well as accompanying audio, of course, because it's a podcast of high quality.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you haven't, go on over and listen to 64 Bits of Rage.
Yes, we'd start rolling out with that. That's more of a me podcast.
Yeah, so that's AS Inquisitor's Nintendo podcast. Mm-hmm. That's also weekly. That comes out every Friday on podcast services.
Balance the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Rage Quit, of course, comes out on Wednesdays. So and it's just offset by 2 or 3 days on YouTube. So.
All right, well.
I think that's a wrap.
As always, folks, follow the bear.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Peace.
Hey there, guys. This is Anthony Schultz, one half of the duo for Rage Quit. I just wanted to spend a minute or two, at most, talking about Ariel and I's other endeavors or where you can follow her and I if you're a fan of this podcast. So I'm most prolific on Twitter as far as social media is concerned. I share more kind of gut reaction or like private experiences and opinions there. I'm at Anthony R. Schultz. Pretty easy to remember, just my name. And if you'd be so inclined, you can give me a follow, and I also drop Rage Quit links there every week and other things that Ariel and I are both working on. AS Inquisitor also streams, which is the production company that produces Rage Quit, essentially myself at the moment. And I stream 5 days a week. I'm a variety streamer, so I do a little bit of everything. Hopefully, there's something there that you would really enjoy, even if it's just one day a week. I take every Thursday and Friday off, and you can follow and or subscribe at twitch.tv/ASInquisitor. All these links that I'm mentioning will be in the description box below, and I will reiterate. Also, AS Inquisitor has a YouTube channel. So if you're not listening to this podcast via YouTube, if you're using your preferred podcast provider, this podcast does make its way to YouTube. We will eventually be recording not only our voices, but also ourselves when we do the podcast. We're just working on some equipment issues right now. But we also have past streams that I've done for AS Inquisitor that have a little bit more kind of polish or pizzazz to them. They're divided up into like better bite-sized chunks for complete game playthroughs or Let's Plays. There's also a lot of unique content there. I record things throughout the week as I play games, just kind of funny moments or maybe even like personal achievements, things of that nature. And so you can search for AS Inquisitor on YouTube, and again, the link will be in the description below. But those are my three kind of primary platforms that you can find me on. So that's Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Ariel actually has her own YouTube channel called Painting with LM Schultz. She's a very talented painter. She has her fine arts degree and enjoys painting for, cathartic reasons, as well as to improve on her, like, technical prowess. So she started her own YouTube channel to improve on her techniques, as well as show people kind of some basics or things that you can do painting-wise. There's also some other kind of crafty do-it-yourself kind of ideas and videos on there as well that pertain a little bit more personally to her and I because they usually involve our family. You know, it's a family project that she's working on. For example, she did our son's Halloween costume. And so she walked through how she constructed and created, you know, the costume and how you could do something similar for your kiddos at home. And then finally, you can follow Ariel on Twitter as well. She is primarily on Twitter, just like myself. We don't really indulge in too many other social media platforms, save for maybe Instagram. I don't think we're as active on there. Ariel might be, more so than myself. But you can follow her at @merhobbit and give her a follow as well. And that's my lovely co-host and beautiful wife, Ariel. But anyways, I just wanted to stop in and kind of throw some links your way. And if you were curious about what AS Inquisitor was doing and how Rage Quit kind of fit into that ecosystem, there it is. Yeah, got all the links for you. If you're interested in any one of those, all of those links are going to be in the description box below. And they're going to be in every podcast episode now. So I'm not sure if they're entirely there right now. But I'm going to be doing a fresh write-up and make sure and have all those included for you. So just click a link or copy and paste and head on over if any of those strike your fancy. But anyways, thanks for enjoying the show. Really appreciate it. We'll be back next week for more rage quittiness. And as always, follow the bear. And have a good evening, guys.